PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Jurassic Park is a movie about dinosaurs. Where are the dinos at? Look, they're over there. Hey guys, how's it going? Bonus episode, it's me, Chris Crespo, hanging on the Crespediso studio, just doing my thing, looking at some waveforms, forming every time I make sounds with my mouth. Wow, 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 just like that. It's pretty cool. Welcome to a spoiler bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. It's just me by myself in the studio, but I'm talking to you guys, so it's me and you. How do you like that? And I'm going to tell you all about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, because I went and saw it in the evening. So there you go. That hopefully that'll give you some context for what's going on. It's just me. It's all by myself. And I don't think, if I recall from last week's episode, Drusen Cogburn has no intention of seeing this movie. So it's just going to be me telling you about it. Let's see if we can do this a little quicker than normal then. We should be, right? I mean, half the people on the show, half the time. I don't think that's how that works. Alright, so I went and saw that JP:FW, and you best believe, spoiler warning, all the spoilers. This is my chance to talk about the movie in full detail without holding anything back. So, spoiler alert, did you know The Fallen Kingdom in the title is us? Bum, bum, bum. My tablet's upstairs. That's us. It's mankind. It's humankind. It's our civilization. The Fallen Kingdom is us, because the end of the movie sets up the Jurassic Park sequel that I've always wanted and I've still have yet to get. And now they're saying the next movie is going to be the sequel I want, which is a movie in which the dinosaurs get off the island, and then they're throughout the world, and we're living with them, and we're no longer the apex predator, because now there's a whole bunch of dinosaurs living with us. You know what I mean? How crazy would that be? You send your kids to work, and then you're like, oh, is that a raptor? Exactly. Scary, right? So, this movie ends with the promise of the next Jurassic movie being that. But do I even want that now? Because, oh my goodness, even The Lost World colon Jurassic Park wasn't a good Jurassic Park movie, and that one was directed by Steven Spielberg himself. He did it, and it wasn't good. Jurassic Park 3, directed by Joe Johnson, whose best movies are probably The Rocketeer and Captain America the First Avenger, which aren't bad movies, they're fine. He makes fine movies, but Jurassic Park doesn't require fine. It requires amazing, right? Spectacle, huge, grandiose, fantastic. Didn't get that with Jurassic World 3. Jurassic Park 3, and then you have Jurassic World, which kind of does give you, going back at least for the awe and the spectacle that Spielberg is known for. However, I mean, it wasn't that great of a story. I mean, just wasn't that good. The plotting itself was like, yeah, it's a, and then these characters are this, and then this happens, and then that happens. There's a little bit of character development, but there's nothing really there. Part of the reason why the first Jurassic Park worked so great is because Michael Crichton wrote a good book, and then it was adapted well into a good screenplay. The second book isn't that good, and then it was made into an even worse movie by a Steven Spielberg, who was almost out of filmmaking at that point. He was considering retiring from filmmaking after making Schindler's List, because he was like, how can I make another movie after Schindler's List? And he picked this one to be his, like, ease back into making movies. His heart wasn't into it, you can tell. Colin Trevorrow, who made Jurassic World, is no Steven Spielberg. J.A. Bayona, who made Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, shows more promise. He's the guy who did broke out with The Orphanage, Spanish horror film from about 10 years ago. Pretty good. Kind of Guillermo del Toro light. If you've already seen The Devil's Backbone, then The Orphanage is like, eh, what are you going to do? That wasn't already done. If you haven't seen The Devil's Backbone, then The Orphanage probably is a pretty impressive movie. Go see The Devil's Backbone. Or go find it. Find a way to watch it. And after he did that, he did something else that was... Oh, the movie The Impossible, which is that Owen Wilson, Naomi Watts, their family. Is it Naomi? Was it Owen Wilson? I may be mixing up my movies. They're on a vacation, and then there's the Tidal Wave movie. It's an Indonesian... It's one of the two or three Indonesian Tidal Wave movies that came out a few years ago. And then there's a Monster Calls, the one where Liam Neeson is a tree. So those three movies lead to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Bah, 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 bah. Here we are. Was it any good? I don't think it was a good movie. I don't think it was. I was in a pretty packed theater. Drew mentioned this on a previous episode, but a guy next to me, the father that has a group of his family, whatever, we have the seats that recline. I never put my feet up because that invites sloth. And but he, like all the other sheep, put his feet up. And then, of course, he had to take his shoes off. And then it took me about 2/3 of the movie to realize what acrid smell was. Oh, this guy's fucking socks. Gross, disgusting people. So, it was a pretty full theater. What I'm trying to say is that there's, like, a good amount of attempts at jokes and humor and stuff like that. This one character, I can't remember his name. I'll go ahead and pull up my IMDb here. I should have had that up already. That's one of the things I would have had Drew. Hey, Drew, what's the guy's name? There's, like, one character who is, like, for sure the comedic character. Of course, Chris Pratt has his few lines because he's Chris Pratt. And he's fine. He's fine enough. He's good. But you could tell in the theater, like, the humor just wasn't really working. It wasn't landing. The jokes weren't landing. People weren't laughing as hard as they could have been. And I'm in a theater full of families and dumb people and idiots and invalids and people who laugh at anything. And it was, I don't know. I don't think the movie was being received that well, to be honest. Most of the jokes are going to this Justice Smith guy who played Franklin, the nerd. And then I was like, oh, I'm such a nerd. Oh. Although I did... Okay, so there's a joke where... I guess just talk about the movie. All right, so the movie starts with dinosaurs and then ends with dinosaurs. The end. So built on a volcano that's... they thought it was dormant, I guess, maybe, given the benefit of the doubt, because apparently it's not. Shit's about to blow. So, man, the first, like, what was that? The first 5-10 minutes of the movie is, like, Bryce Dallas Howard, her character, Claire. She's, like, organizing the grassroots program to save the dinosaurs, and there's, like, CNN footage or news footage of people protesting about dinos have rights, because the whole thing is that volcanoes about to blow on the island and kill all these dinosaurs that mankind created. Should mankind be responsible for saving these dinosaurs and getting them off the island and for their well-being, or should they just let the volcano go off and kill them all and let them be re-extinct? Enter Jeff Goldblum. So he reprises his role as Dr. Ian Malcolm. And in the trailer, you only see him sitting behind a table in some sort of congressional hearing. And that's because in the movie, you only see him sitting behind a table at some sort of congressional hearing. He's in the very beginning where he's asked to give his opinion. What should he do? And he's like, ah, you should let the dinosaurs die because we screwed up. Let nature, correct the mistake. And so that's what the government does. They're like, you know what? This guy's right. We ain't going to save these dinosaurs. Let them die. Cut back to Bryce Dallas Howard and her crew, and they're like, we'll call the senators. And it's weird. Why are they? It's like, this is the movie. Here's the movie about dinosaurs. And it's like when people go see Star Wars The Phantom Menace, and then it starts with Senate hearings. Where are the lightsabers? What's going on? So this movie starts with the equivalent of that, which is cold calling people for support for dinosaur rights. there would be a contingent of people, well-meaning people, who would go overboard for dino rights. I know they would. But anyway, movie barely touches on that for the first few minutes, wasting everyone's time, and then it gets to the part where Claire, who her character is introduced with by a shot of her feet in heels, as that feels like a kind of a jab at all the people who are mad at having her character running through the island in the last movie in heels, and they're like, blah, blah, blah. That was weird. So I feel like, because then later they also make a big dramatic shot of her feet when she comes off a plane, and then she's wearing like much more appropriate jungle wear boots. Okay, see, that's why I have IMDb here. What's this family? So all of a sudden now, you know, just to fit their story purposes, Hammond, John Hammond, who did the whole Enterprise, wasn't alone, apparently. He was working hand-in-hand with some other family, some other dude. The Lockwoods? Lockheeds? Locksmart? Lockdog? Lockwood. So this dude, Benjamin Lockwood, apparently is the other half of the Dino team. He has a big old mansion that looks like the mansion from Casino Royale or the X-Men movies. Sort of looks like the X-Mansion. Is that what it is? It's cool. And God, so much setup. Why would they do this? So he, the whole time, was working with Hammond. He has a ton of money. Gave it to some young acquaintance to run his foundation. Young acquaintance played by Rafe Spall, English actor himself, who probably his best work was as the fat kid in Shaun of the Dead, where he's all like, you got red on you. And then he loses some weight, and then he's in Hot Fuzz. He's one of the detectives. And he's a bunch of other stuff. He's Rafe Spall. You've seen him. Life of Pi, Big Short, you've seen him. He's the big bad guy of the movie, and it's so obvious he is, too. He's the big bad guy where he's all like, oh, yeah, I'm in charge of this dude's money. We're going to... And he gets Claire, Bryce Dallas Howard, that we're going to help you. We need you to help us help you get these dinosaurs off the island before the island explodes. She's like, cool. He's also like, I need you to go get Chris Pratt. He's essential to this film's success. And she's like, cool. Goes, dude's literally building a house by the side of the lake. The most unbelievable thing in the movie about dinosaurs is this one character building a house by himself. Building all haphazardly, too. He's like, he's got a frame, and then, like, half a roof at the start of the roof. He's working. There's wood everywhere. He gets recruited. They go to the island. He's looking for Blue. The blue-tinted velociraptor that he raised from the last movie. That's why he's there. Ted Levine is the Great White Hunter. Chris Pratt literally calls him Great White Hunter. And Ted Levine, if you're wondering, he's a ton of stuff. His most popular role, probably, Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill, the Would You Fuck Me guy. But he's been in a lot of other stuff. Look at this, like, oh, this guy, Ted Levine, usually has a mustache. This movie, he's a great old White Hunter, badass, dickhead, perfect casting. He's great. I love him. He's good in this, really sinking his teeth into it. They go out looking for dinosaurs. They find the ones that they're looking for, specific ones. They capture them to bring them back. It's convoluted. I'm skipping a lot of stuff because who cares? It really is a bunch of nonsense. Because also the movie too, these are your main characters and they're constantly in danger. And you're wondering, is the lava going to get them? Is there an earthquake? Is the dinosaur going to eat them? Are they going to drown? All this danger happens to them in the first 45 minutes of the movie that you see in all the trailers. And you know these are the main characters in a PG-13 movie that they want to make sequels for. Nothing bad's going to happen to them. Nah, I mean. So, nothing bad happens to them. And then it's this whole thing where they just happen to... They stick around, kind of... I don't know. They just covertly stick around to get on the boat, follow them back to the Lockwood Mansion, where then Rafe Spall's a bad guy, and it's like, oh shit, Toby Jones is here. Toby Jones was in that Capote movie that no one saw, and he's also in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is great. And he becomes an auctioneer for the dinosaurs to the black market, to all these foreign international arms dealers who are going to weaponize these predators. And then, man, this movie is so convoluted. I don't think I like it. I really don't think I like it. Recapping everything and talking about this plot, which is just, this movie is just a plot. There's no, there's like nothing behind the movie. It's such artifice. Okay. Let's talk about what I did like about the movie. You know what I did like about the movie? You know what I did like? I liked the look of it, for the most part. A lot of... I was surprised at the amount of... I was like, looking at these dinosaurs. Like, is that a... Not is it a real dinosaur, but like, is that an animatronic? There were a decent amount of, for sure, practical dinosaurs, like on-set dinosaurs. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were even more... That I didn't notice. That maybe something I just assumed was really good CG and really was an animatronic. But there are some for sure, like, that's like, damn, this is really, that's actually really cool. You're seeing that money being spent up on the screen. Like the whole auction scene, the thing that they have set up, this whole conveyor belt with the lights and the cage, it's so elaborate. And this huge screen behind them that has like everyone's initials and how much money they're bidding on each dinosaur, and it adds up the total at the bottom like a video game. It is so absurd, and so much money got put into just the set. At least you see the money being spent on a movie like this, you know? And it's absurd, it's ridiculous, and... I don't think it's good because there's nothing there. Because then there's also this like other... So inside this movie, there's this other movie happening that they barely mention, but it pops up here and there. I feel like this movie was like 2.5 hours and they cut it down to a little over 2 hours. Because there's this whole side plot about how this old Lockheed dude, played by the great James Cromwell... James Cromwell? Let me see if I can make sure I get that name right. Ooh, I lost the page. He's raising his granddaughter. This little girl. The little girl you see in the trailers running around being terrorized by a dinosaur. I'm like, what does this little girl have to do with anything? She's the granddaughter of this character. But at the end, it's revealed, bum, bum, bum. She's not the granddaughter. She's the dead daughter cloned. He just cloned her. Petri dish baby. Re-raising his... clone dog, you know, Jurassic Park stuff. That actually is an interesting little bit. Interesting take. Much more real world application of what would you do if you did have this sort of genetic. We kind of do. We can rebuild. We clone pets all the time now. It's expensive, but we do it. So why not clone people? What stops us from doing that? And then the little girl's horror as she realizes, oh my, when she finds out the truth at the end. That's the movie I want to see. About that little girl, like, wow, she's like, I'm a clone this whole time. That's why she feels for the dinosaurs and lets them out at the end. When the gas is gonna, it's so convoluted. So convoluted. Jeff Goldblum is barely in this movie. B.D. Wong is in this movie more than Jeff Goldblum's in this movie. What was I looking for? Not Ted Levine's character, Toby Jones. That was ridiculous. James Cromwell, for sure, is that dude's name. Oh, so there's this character, Zia. Played by Daniela Pineda, and everyone's making this big deal online about how there's a line in the movie, how she mentioned she's not into dudes. She's talking to Chris Pratt's character, Owen. She's like, the line is something like, I'm not into dudes, but I can see why chicks like you, like, I would sleep with you all, I don't know, some weird line. And then it got cut out of the movie, and people were making a big deal, like, oh, look, it's Hollywood, erasing another gay character from a movie, blah, blah. And I don't think it is a case of that. You guys know me. I love to rail about injustices and Hollywood hypocrisy and shit like that. This character is very obviously gay. So I don't think it needs to be spoken unless everyone's gaydar is broken. This a for sure gay character. She doesn't need to say it anyway. It's also read on the page as a stupid line, and it's kind of a dumb movie, so I can see why they would shoot it, but then be like, yeah, no, this isn't really working. There is this new dinosaur, an Indoraptor. That's kind of cool. I like the design of the Indoraptor. See, what I like about the movie is some of the design stuff. So I like the design of the Indoraptor. Very sleek looking, kind of, you know, amphibianous skin, almost black, with cool streaks on the side. And It definitely has a bit of a personality. It likes to toy with people, and it seeks out things, and it's a hunter for sure. You know, it's designed to be sold as a weapon to people, to be weaponized. And Ray Spall's character does make a good point. You know, Anna has been using warfare for years, horses, elephants, etc. He didn't mention dolphins. He should have. Dolphins have been used. So that was a cool design. I like that dinosaur. I like the way he was hunting and seeking and all the stuff at the end where he's like trying to track down Owen and Claire and the little girl that's actually a clone of her own mother. Who's herself. She's actually just her own clone. I like the way it was done. This guy's horror background with the orphanage for sure comes through. And also, he knows... This guy, J.A. Bayona, knows that movies are about the interplay between light and shadow. A lot of the directors forget that. Just look at most comedies. Everything is just flat, lit, the same, looks terrible. He knows how to compose a shot, how to build a scene. So there's some great moments here and there, all of them involving dinosaurs. There's a great one towards the... In the first third, while they're still on the island, while the volcano's going off, Bryce Dallas Howard is running around with the nerd dude, old Justice Smith, I guess that was his name. They're running around and they're like, oh no, what do we do? And there's a long tunnel behind them and it's dark. And lava drips down the tunnel. And as it drips down, you get just a flash of light. And in that flash of light, as that lava drips down, you see the dinosaur coming closer. Then a little more drips down a few seconds later, and it's closer. And it happens again. It's like, this is a good shot. This is good stuff right here. Another shot later where they're leaving the island. It's like the last moments. They barely get off there before the lava gets to the shore, and they turn back and they see one dinosaur like on the dock, literally looking at them as it goes away, and say like, oh, you left me behind. And then the ash cloud overtakes it, and the lava behind it makes the ash cloud glow, and then it's like, oh, and it roars up sort of, and you see its silhouette. A very, very effective, good looking shot. Lots of stuff like that. Lots of silhouettes. Lots of interesting uses of silhouettes and backlighting and things like that, and dinosaurs coming out of the darkness. Also, the very beginning, the opening scene where they're recovering a bone specimen from the flooded part of the island, I guess, and one guy is like trying to close the gates, and he's kneeling there, and he's on the island, and he's pretty much like exposed. He doesn't have any cover. And you know, everyone knows except him that there's a dinosaur. There's something out there in the bushes coming around for. Like, really good use of anticipation, audience expectation, suspense building, etc., etc. At that scene, I was like, yeah, maybe this will be a good movie. Maybe this will be good. And then the story kicked in. It's a story issue. What's going on? It's a lack of story. It's just plot. It's just to set up the ending. In which the dinosaurs do get out of the house, maybe, what, 10 of them? Including the handful of flying ones? 10 dinosaurs get out, and they go spread out into the wilderness, disappear, and I don't know where they are, upstate New York, or something like that, Southern California, they could be anywhere. And, supposedly these 11 dinosaurs are then going to populate the world with more dinosaurs. That's what I'm hoping for. A world overrun with dinosaurs and people trying to, you know, you get on the bus, you go to work, and there's a T-Rex is driving it, and you get... so it looks good. Good suspenseful moments. Good use of dinosaurs and lights and shadows and scariness. But the story, God, where was the story? What was up with the clone girl stuff? And the one interesting aspect, you're just going to throw it here on the side. It's a little bit of pepper on her gumbo of ridiculousness. And then it felt so... Then it ends up feeling so small. So they get to the island. They find the dinosaur blue that they're looking for pretty quickly. They capture it pretty easily. They get off the island. You know they're going to. They get off there within the first 40 minutes of the movie. And then they get to this house. And this whole movie is in this house. A house full of dinosaurs. And it's not even as exciting as that sounds. There's only like one scene of a house of a dinosaur rampaging around when the one with the domed head is like it's running around the crowd where they're doing the auction. It gets loose in there and it's like doom doom and it hits one people and they go flying around. It's very cartoony and it's like, well, is this movie like a scary movie about crazy dinosaurs and is it beware of greed, human greed and stuff like that, or is this a Looney Tunes comedy where someone could get hit by a boneheaded dinosaur at 30-40 miles an hour and then there's like ooh, 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 turn into an accordion. I'm pretty sure at least one character got stepped on by a brontosaurus and when that leg came back up he stood up like an accordion and just walked away. Pretty sure that happened. I was paying attention, right? Jeff Goldblum was barely in this fucking movie, but they didn't try to sell it any other way, so I'm gonna give him credit for that. But still, man, come on, Jeff. You got paid decently. You better have. I saw this great suggestion, a great tweet. Here we go. Here's a new segment of the show called Chris Reads Tweets. I think it's an old segment, actually. We've done this before. Oh boy. Okay, here we go. This is from user on Twitter, at, nope, that's not it. Here we go, at JRDRD. Who's this guy? 36-year-old French-Canadian traveler, film enthusiast, cat wrangler. Just a dude. He's just a dude. He tweeted this. Jurassic Park sequel idea. 3 million AD. The humans are extinct. The dino scientists find mosquitoes with human blood. Guess who they clone? Jeff fucking Goldblum. They mix up the mosquito DNA with Goldblum. Surprise, assholes. This is now a sequel to The Fly. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. Shout out to that dude at JRDRD. Sometimes you just gotta know who to follow, not for their tweets, but for their retweets. Because it's very cool. What are your ideas for Jurassic World sequel? Jurassic World 3, Fallen Kingdom 2, The Rise of the Dinosaurs, Part 1, The Beginning of the End, will be coming out in a couple years. Colin Trevorrow's already writing it because he's got his gross little fingers in all these movies now. And it's going to feature dinosaurs as now part of the ecosystem. Of our current ecosystem. So where do you want to see this movie go? Pick up right where it leaves off. A few years down the road, dinosaurs have fully integrated and they've grown and etc. Write in, let us know. Call us with your thoughts. 1-888. We love dinosaurs. Here we go, phone lines are open. Nope. No calls. We're good? No calls? Okay. Well, that's fine. If you don't want to call, you can just email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and I guess we'll read them on the show. We'll read your Jurassic World 3 ideas. Keep them brief, and don't try to beat that one about the fly. That's a good one. Just give me, where do you think you want to see these go? Like, genuinely, because I am genuine when I say, although I do believe I realized this recently, that the Jurassic Park sequel that I want is the one in which they get out in the world and they're everywhere. Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, teased that when the T-Rex gets loose in San Diego, I think it was, and runs around downtown San Diego for a minute, and then they lure it back to the docks with the baby. There's this crazy shot with when they finally get it back on the ship, and the camera's panning down, or up, but the lighting is like super strong light way behind Jeff Goldblum and it's lighting his ears. It's backlighting his ears which are sticking out from the side of his head and he looks like he's getting ready to fly like Dumbo. Okay, I'm marking that to be cut out later. Um, And I haven't... Two teased that, but that's it. Three, whatever. Go back to the island. Four, back to the island. Five starts with the back to the island. And then the second half, when dinosaurs get to... Are they in Canada? Maybe Vancouver? They really didn't say. Were they in... England? Oh, no. North America, for sure. Because of certain characters' accents. Even when they do that, they're in a house the whole time. They're in a fucking house. It's a big house. Yes, it's a big house, but... Come on. It's a big world. Expand this world. Expand the universe. It is now the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... We're talking about the fifth movie in a franchise, and it's somehow getting smaller. It's gotten bigger, but also smaller. It's gotten more complex, but also dumber. I think we're doing this wrong. Something's wrong here. It's unlike the Jaws movies. Spielberg regretted not doing Jaws 2 because he wasn't a big fan of how it turned out, just like everyone else. And it's in hindsight, it's fine enough. It's a lot like how Die Hard 2, after Die Hard 2 is like, what the fuck? But then you get Die Hard 3, it's like, oh, okay. And then you get Die Hard 4, like, well, actually. And then Die Hard 5 comes out, well, 2 is amazing. That kind of thing. So, yeah, compared to Jaws 3 and Jaws 4, Jaws 2 is like, well, at least you got a plot that makes sense and stories, and there's some characters here and there's some things. But anyway, just like Jaws, Jurassic Park, the first one, stone cold classic, masterpiece, revolutionary. Jurassic Parks 2 through 5. Why? Don't need them. Wipe them off the map. Don't need them. Garbage. All of it. Not all of it. I mean, in toto, all of it. Bits and pieces of them. Like in the Lost World Jurassic Park. Julianne Moore and Vince Vaughn. They're on that... and what's his name? He's also in the scene. The Fly. Brundlefly. And they're in that like connected van thing. And they're the two T-Rexes. And they're pushing it off the ledge. And like she's on the broken glass. That's a fantastic, amazing scene of Spielbergian cinematic wizardry. But it's 5-7 minutes in a whole movie. It's not enough. All of those great shots I was talking about, the great use of lighting and shadow and silhouettes and all that in this movie, in JW:FK, that all totals up to about a minute. This movie's over 2 hours. We're talking about a minute's worth of like visual, like, whoa, that's like a really inspired, great looking shot. And which is surprising when you get to a huge corporate art like this, made for the express purpose of trying to crack $1 billion worldwide and selling toys and things like that. When you get your actual little artistic flourishes to come through, you're like, wow, that's impressive. So this movie has some of that, but not enough. So yeah, gotta say, I would say I was disappointed, or it was disappointing if I necessarily had any expectations. My expectations were like really in check. I was just going to try to see an entertaining movie. I checked my phone. I checked my phone to see what time it was. So that's not a good sign when the movie's going and you're checking, you're looking, and you're like, oh, it's only been going for 50 minutes. I got over an hour left. Oh, boy. That's how I felt. And that's not a good sign. That's a very natural feeling that you just get when you're watching a movie. Either it has it or it doesn't. This one didn't get me. Gotta be honest. Sorry, J.A. Bayona. Bayona. So that was my Max Headroom impression. I'm working on a Max Headroom. If you don't know who Max Headroom is, just go to YouTube and be horrified. Remember, send us your Jurassic World 3 ideas. If you have them. If not, don't. I mean, the fuck do I care? They're a bunch of garbage sequels anyway. And when the next one gets made, I will be there opening day, because we are all... what are those monks that whip themselves? Self-flagellate? Anyway. If movies, if the movie theater is my church, if cinema is my religion, then watching movies like this in order to review them is my form of self-flagellation. Like I don't deserve good things, so I'm gonna go see the latest piece of gigantic blockbustery and hope it's good. And, oh, it's not. Oh well, what did I expect? Movie pass to the rescue. I think that's about it. So there you go. Thank you guys for downloading and listening. If you're still listening, tweet at me at I am Chris Crespo. Your thoughts super quick on Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and I will retweet them. Use the hashtag JW:FK, but you gotta spell out the colon. So JWCOLONFK. Again, at I am Chris Crespo, also at Crespo Diso. And hey, rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Have you done that yet? No, why not? Please do it. We've been stuck on 62 reviews for a while now. Come on, man. Help us get to 69. It'll be fun. Me and Drew are going to high five. And we'll do it on the show so you hear it. You know you want to hear that. And that's about it. Guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a good night. Or good morning. Or good afternoon. Whenever you're listening to this.
A PFT Media production.